been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Cairo. I've been there. Cairo.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
This is Rachel Herndon-Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times. I'm sitting here with my lovely co-host, Becky Lohman of Catalyst, who happens to lobby with today's guest, who I'm very excited to have. We are live from the Missouri State Capitol, the day after the governor's budget recommendations, which has a lot of people buzzing. And so I want to thank you for tuning in for a new episode of the Hashtag MoLedge podcast, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Our guest today, someone I'm very excited to finally meet, is the ACLU's newest legislative and policy director, Sarah Baker.
The infamous Sarah Baker.
The infamous.
Thanks, Becky.
That's a good thing. Trust me.
Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge podcast, Sarah.
Thank you. Welcome. Happy to be here and happy to see all of you and work with you.
That's nice.
Me especially.
Yeah. Becky, who I see every day. Rachel, who I just learned, lives up in this fifth floor area.
Yes. If you take a wrong door, you will literally be in the dome.
Hmm.
So, you know, if you're feeling adventurous someday, just come up to the press wing.
Yeah, just trying to explore.
We will show you a good time and the importance of air circulation.
Excellent. Always looking for that.
So, ACLU, big deal, very historic group. What is on the menu for the group this year?
Yeah, so as is on the menu every single year, we have a bunch of challenges to civil liberties that we will be trying to get rid of in the Missouri legislature. We're tracking over 500 bills at this point that we view in part as threatening to civil liberties, although nestled amongst those are some good nuggets too. We're particularly excited about four initiatives. One is a bill that would update our state's vehicle stop report and try to put an end to discriminatory policing in the state of Missouri. So asking not just for counseling for officers, but also discipline when we can track discriminatory policing. Another of our bills is about password privacy. So this bill would make it so your employer or your educational institution or your landlord could not ask for password level access to your online accounts. Now, that sounds like a huge mouthful, but the reason it comes about is because various institutions like the ones I mentioned are using apps like Tenant Assured to get extra information on you that you might have wished to be private. So Tenant Assured, you log in with your Facebook account and then it scans your profile, including your messages for information like feeling cheap, can't afford that, have to stay in tonight, to create this financial character profile that it then gives to your landlord, information that we don't think he or she should have. Then we are also working on an anti-maternal shackling bill. Yes, it is still legal to shackle inmates in the state of Missouri, even when they are in active labor. We want to put that to an end. We have two lawsuits, the first of which we won, the second of which is up for trial in March to try to ban this practice as unconstitutional. And then the final initiative we're very proud to support is the Raise the Age legislation to make sure that kids are being treated as kids and that 17-year-olds are not entering into the adult criminal system instead of the juvenile system, which we view as more restorative and more likely to get kids back on the right track.
So I was thinking about this legitimately last night. I'm a big meme person. There's a site called Imgur, and whenever I need to like decompress so I can like move on with my day, yeah. I like looking at these stupid memes from
everyone
all across
has
the country.
Their thing. Yeah.
And like, I know a ton of cops, great guys, and they would never say that they intentionally profile anyone.
Right.
And no police group ever would.
Right.
But I feel like there may be a problem somewhere, somehow, whenever there are memes reflecting a problem, whenever there is a constant message out there in at least social media land where these concerns are being raised. And I think I always think it's interesting whenever you're watching campaigns, which is something the Missouri Times does every year, very excited for 2018. Candidates always talk about how they want to preserve civil liberties.
Right.
And then the ACLU comes here to the building and they have 500 bills they're watching. Like that kind of concerns me.
Yeah, it concerns me as well. And I think if you were to pick a meme for that, it would be something like the minions freaking out in Despicable Me. You know, I think a lot of folks don't recognize that bills have unintended consequences. And most often the bills we see in the Missouri legislature have the unintended consequence of chilling speech. And that's something we have to be very vigilant and watch out for. Because while you might be trying to protect public safety, you have to recognize that there's still a First Amendment right to assembly, for example, and to speech, for example. And I think a lot of legislators, I call them oopsie unconstitutionals. They don't mean it to be unconstitutional. Sure. That's not what they're aiming to do. But they're not recognizing that their bills need to be narrowly tailored. And so that's a lot of what we work on under the dome.
Interesting. So before we started recording, Becky and I and you were kind of talking about how we were once nerds. Obviously not nerds anymore.
No, totally grown out of that.
But the ACLU has been very influential throughout, especially the last 50 years. How old is the ACLU?
Like, I should have Googled this. 100 wow. plus, yeah.
So, over the last century, very influential in shaping the progress of this country. And I remember once upon a time, two decades ago now, just, like, dreaming one day, like, maybe I would be an attorney for the ACLU or I would work in politics for the ACLU. How did you come to the ACLU? Because my 10-year-old self really wants to know.
Well, for all the 10-year-olds out there, I actually kind of interviewed by mistake. I thought I was going in to meet with the executive director. I came back from Washington, D.C. I'd been working for a nonprofit that worked on U.S.-Cuba relations. And so I was very focused on the international sphere and even on defense, actually. But then I came back to Missouri and started hunting around for jobs and just wanted to meet everyone in the advocacy community. So I, through a couple connections of mine, got a meeting with Jeffrey Mittman, who's the executive director, and really just thought I was going in to, you know, get to know him, get to know more about the ACLU. And then at the end he said, well, you should come back for the second interview. And I said, this is so exciting.
Best dinner crushed it. You just not knowing that it's an interview.
Yeah, really took it, right? And then for my second interview, I know we mentioned being a bit nerdy. I completely nerded out on that. I memorized all of the ACLU's cases.
Oh, wow.
And created flashcards for all of them.
Missouri cases? Or Missouri literally
cases.
All of them?
No, okay. Missouri cases. I wanted to be specific to our
How
state.
How far do you have pi memorized?
Not far. That I leave to my mathematician of a husband. But those I got very familiar with. And so at ACLU, you do panel interviews. So you do interviews with almost everyone on staff. And so for each person, I had different cases that I wanted to talk to them about. So did my research and got in the door.
You're nothing if not prepared, man.
I'm starting to wonder if there's like an ACLU shuffled out there, because I feel like every time I call over there, like I'll start with Daniela, who I adore,
yeah.
Great communication professional, and then I'll end up talking to an attorney, and then I'll talk to another attorney, and then 3 hours later, I feel like I've gone to law school.
Yeah, we're very big on context. So if we don't have the immediate answer to your question or an answer that we view to be thorough enough, you're going through research. You know?
So you mentioned your husband. We kind of talked about him off air, but I hear you put something very interesting on his honey-do list, and he completed it.
Yeah. This is a note to all the partners out there. So I came home from the Missouri legislature after probably my first week there in kind of panic mode because there were so many bills. Yeah, there were just a few things on the agenda and I felt like bills were flying across and I didn't know what to do. Even though everyone else was telling me things were moving really slowly, I was like, what are you talking about? So I came home and I complained about not being able to track bills as effectively as I wanted, despite the fact that we have access to some bill tracking software. And so my husband, who's actually a theoretical physicist, took a crack at that.
Mine too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Took a crack at that and built me a bill tracker. And so I came in like the next week and I told Becky, hey, my husband built me this thing so that I can track bills better. What do you think? And she goes, oh, that's the most romantic thing anyone's ever done. And since then, it's really taken off. He has his own website and, you know, is working to promote that around the state. It works in all 50 states now. So honey-do lists can really pay off.
Mine is like, take the trash out, not like build a legislative tracking process.
Mine was changed.
I should up the ante, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was change the world, please.
Yeah. He's a theoretical physicist. Like, can we back up for a second?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought this only existed, like, on TV.
No, he is possibly a bigger nerd than I am.
I met my first rocket scientist last year. Was very excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
And that was cool. So, just out of curiosity, does his bill tracker track the theoretical physics or the projections of the acceleration of bills?
He is doing, he could go into way more detail on this, but he is putting in predictive analytics. So he will be able to forecast based on voting record and campaign finance where he expects bills to end up. But that is a feature that is forthcoming.
It sounds like that's going to put lobbyists out of business, so I'm not into it.
Oh no, Becky's going to lobby against it. No, Becky's going to use it.
I'll use it, but I will lobby against the expansion of it predictive analytics.
That's amazing. See, I was just over here thinking like, oh, let's make some pretty graphs and then make art out of it.
And well, and we were, Sarah and I were actually talking earlier today, and I feel like people think this all the time, is what did people do in this building before we had legislative trackers, before you had a computer screen, a TV screen with what the House is working on, what the Senate's working on? I mean, was the bar just really low? Like, hopefully you show up for stuff because it's posted on a piece of paper outside of a room.
Right.
I think to use a meme for that, it would be the last day of session where they all throw up their papers in the air. That's what it would have been like all the time.
Truly. Maybe expectations are just higher because there's no excuse to miss bills being filed or hearings being rescheduled and such, but I like the way it is today. I cannot imagine a world where you're walking around with no phone or computer and you just hope to see the person you want to see. I mean, a totally different world.
I agree completely. I had never thought about that, but there's something I've been wanting to do coverage wise is go through. There's lobbyists that people call the quote unquote institutions.
Yeah.
The people who have been here like 40 and 50 years and somehow haven't gone mad.
Right. You think a big change like that. Like, you think, a big change like that. Imagine being here before there was the technology available and now the world today. I mean, you're probably like, this job got super easy. This is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I was having dinner with a friend of mine the other day, and her father actually was the one who built the initial bill tracking infrastructure internally for the House and Senate. And I was like, what was that like? And here I have my husband who's like spiraling off on that and taking it to a way different place. And I'm just thinking like, oh, that sounds awful. Like, printed copies used to arrive. You had to look. It was just way too much work. But it's the foundation of what makes everything tick now. So,
I know we have a census coming up in a couple years, but I remember watching the redistricting happen with the last census. Mm. And there's a lobbyist in town who's legendary named Mark Rose, and he worked on the redistricting. I think it was in like 1980, and he said they had maps printed out that were like probably the size of this wall. And they were like up there with like pencils and pens trying to figure it out. And that just, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
I am so thankful for everything.
Just everything, period. Just everything, period.
Let us all take a moment of gratitude.
A moment of silence.
Now, what people probably actually listen to this podcast for is Becky's five questions. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Hashtag Millage five questions.
Yes.
Are you ready, Becky?
Yeah, I am. Okay. First question. What is, besides being in the building, what's your favorite thing to do in Jeff City?
Okay, so I joked a lot before this podcast started about my answer to this and saying, like, Thursday when we leave town. But I don't really mean that about Jeff City. I think my favorite thing to do, you know, in the building during the week is just to run into people and have those completely random conversations that then you go and tell your closer friends about and say, I cannot believe this actually happened. So, I mean, we all joke about kind of getting the war wounds from Jefferson City, but I think there's something to be said for the camaraderie that builds up around having those stories or having like really rough committee hearings and then have people, you know, tag you and say, you did a really great job when you thought you just crashed and burned. So I think my favorite thing to do here is going to be the nerdiest answer ever. It's to work here. It's to actually get the job done.
I think that's refreshing.
I think it is too.
I feel like a lot of people think, you know, we all make jokes about, oh, we want to leave or this place is crazy, but I feel like everybody that is here wants to be here.
Right. Yeah.
Wants to be here. So, you know, that's why you get this camaraderie and people like being new in the building. I was very grateful because I felt like people that had been here for 30 years were happy to give me, people like their jobs, and I think that shows. Despite, you know, tense arguments and on all the stuff that kind of goes along with it, I think people like to be here.
Yeah, and people are subject matter experts, too. I mean,
right.
I think that's phenomenal, too.
It's absolutely amazing how much people know.
Yeah, when you have that all at your fingertips, it's
I will say, incredible. I was disappointed week before last. So I'm a smoker, obviously. There's literally packs just sitting around me. But there's a smoker's lounge in the building, and sometimes I go down there just to hear like what people are thinking and talking about. And so first week of session, I walk in, the couches are gone, the chairs are gone, we have folding chairs and a table. The table's gone now, just for the record. And
were you robbed?
I don't know. So the rumor was bed bugs, but no one had a solid answer for me. For the first time in Smoker's Lounge history, in my history with the Smoker's Lounge, there wasn't a solid answer as to the questions I was asking. I was very disappointed.
Whenever you hear those random, like, oh, it was bed bugs, and oh, that's just like becomes the, I heard the same right? thing, and you're just like, oh, bed bugs, and then you regurgitate it, and then all becomes, and it's like, becomes who true. Was the first person to say bed bugs?
Yeah.
And well, I don't know, but we just take it as fact and we just regurgitate it.
That's definitely something I've been thinking about over the past few weeks, especially, is where do some of these rumors come from?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It impresses me, I will say.
It's some of the creativity of the stuff. I'm like, huh, that's a new
Would
one.
Would you hear that?
Right.
Well, it's a huge game of telephone, too.
Absolutely. Oh, and we all know how the game of telephone works.
Yeah.
We played it in grade school, so I'm going to do that. Okay, second question.
Are we playing it now?
What is one word to describe you?
Ooh. Oh.
Besides nerd. I feel like you called yourself a nerd many times.
I know. I fell into that one a lot. I don't know. I don't have a super snappy word for this, but, and this one isn't even a word. Can I make a new word?
Sure.
Okay. Ooh. So I'm going to go with contextualist. And I don't think it's a word, but I'm going to invent it because I think it describes a facet of my personality. I like to know everything about something before I talk about it, mm-hmm. Which can slow down the process, admittedly. But at the same time,
contextualism is a thing.
Contextualism, yes. But
is it an
ist?
If there's an ism, there's an ist.
Is that a journalistic fact?
I just made it.
Okay. Yeah.
You're making facts. I'm making words. Perfect. This is perfect.
When's it going to be my turn? I'm going to make things up.
You have another question. You can make up.
Okay. Okay. Want. Perfect. Contextualist. Okay. Yeah. Fun. That's it. Okay. Third question. Last session was your first session in the building.
Yes.
What was like one of the most notable experiences you had, or something huge you learned, or an unnecessary panic you had that now you realize was not that big of a deal, maybe?
Yeah. I learned that it's never done, in terms of like when I might have thought that, oh yeah, we took care of that problem, how quickly can rear its head again. In that same vein, though, I will say, to say something on a hopeful note, there are also so many opportunities along the way. I thought it was like a one shot, you're done. Oh, I also thought that testimony could kill a bill. That was cute. That was really cute.
Sweet.
I know. I have learned. But at the same time, like, there are a lot of opportunities along the way to engage and disrupt something, and the same for pushing something forward. So I think, you know, that how a bill becomes a law song really doesn't help you that much until you're in the building going, oh, these are all the ways that we can weave in and out of this.
Yeah, I remember I used to, I'm a psycho to-do list, and so I used to erase things, and now I've learned to just strike them through because it's never really done.
Yeah.
Like, it's never, at some point I'm going to unstrike it through or have to write it back in, so I just strike it through, and I'm like, I've taken an action on that, but let's be real, it's coming back.
I will say, on that note, Becky, you completely revolutionized my editorial style in the last probably 18 months, because Becky like casually just said like in passing over the interim, and I don't know if it was last year or the year before, you're like, oh, bills are passed in the interim, just casually, and I had never even thought about that, and like I come back to like Ben and Travis, I'm like, guys, it's not just campaigns.
That's like, amazing. Let's pretend like I came up with that line. I'm
absolutely.
Sure someone much smarter than me had said it, and I picked it up as fact. I love when that happens.
Nope, it's you.
Fourth question. What's one weird habit that you have?
Ooh. Oh. This might be happening to a lot of lobbyists under the dome. I imagine it is, or at least I would like to cultivate that solidarity. But I dream about this work a lot. So the last weird dream I had about the Missouri legislature, which was like 2 nights ago, was that instead of... So for most of the bills that I go and testify on, I just get to write one word in the testimony box, which is unconstitutional. And that's pretty awesome, right? I don't have to write on a long thing. But I had a dream that I walked up to the desk and I actually had one of those like massive stamps. And I took out the ink pad next to me, I pressed the stamp in, and I just like all over the bill stamped unconstitutional. I woke up so satisfied.
So and now we need to get you a real thing.
Yes.
Like it's instead of a
that's
easy
putting
button,
that on my list, right?
Instead of a that's easy button, it's an unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional.
One. And it's funny because I feel like I've heard a lot of people be like, I had a dream that, you know, someone won an election and I didn't know who that, like, true, just very, like, linear dreams mm-hmm. that just show how weirdly obsessed.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, who dreams about their job in, like, a way that is fun? Like, having an unconstitutional stamp is nerd level 100 and I yeah. love it so much.
Yeah. well, after... So after Oprah gave that speech at mm-hmm. the award show a couple weeks ago, I also had a dream that the Supreme Court was 9 women. I was like,
that's a fun dream.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I hope I'm predicting the future, but I don't know.
I've developed a new habit this year that whenever I'm like super exhausted at the end of the day and I'm trying to decompress, like I'll put stuff on my calendar to either remind myself of or remind myself of next week. And so last night it popped up on my calendar, talk to David about legal issues.
No.
And I don't know if you know how many Davids are in this building that are
lawyers. Or how many legal issues
how many legal issues are.
Like the most vague thing you could have
written. And I mean, we do a lot of legal reporting. There's a lot of lawsuits out there that we're covering very closely. And there's a lot of Davids. And so I hope that maybe next time I'm that tired, I figure out what I need to talk to David about specifically.
Yeah.
But the calendar is actually driving Becky crazy. She's like emailing me. She's like, it's already on my calendar, Rachel.
I have a boss who does that too.
last question. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? I know that you and your husband went to Germany before Session started as sort of a hiatus from, you know, a last hurrah, so to speak.
Yes.
So where would you live if you could live anywhere?
Well, probably much to his chagrin, I would not pick Germany. I would love to go somewhere that was Spanish speaking. And so far, the favorite place that we've traveled to together would be Colombia. We had an amazing time there, except for my husband not knowing the word for to break in Spanish, which is frenar. And he didn't
pause.
Know.
Because we've talked about this on the podcast before, because Becky once told people she was moving to Colombia.
Oh.
Yeah, and people were thrilled.
So they were excited. Like, Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah. I was like, I'm moving. When I lived in St. Louis, I was like, I'm moving to Columbia. And everyone's like, that's amazing. And I was like, thank you. I'm so excited. And then I was like, my fiance lives in Columbia. And they were like, that's amazing. And I was like, I know. I've been to Columbia like so many times. Everyone's just, I was like, you know, think I'm this like cool, you know, world traveler. And then I was like, oh, you mean Colombia with an O. Oh, I'm moving, you know, down 70. And they were like, oh, that's neat. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care.
So Netflix has released some new series about Colombia and other related nations. What is the Colombia you have seen that you would want to live there compared to the cartel documentaries that I watch on the reg?
Yeah, well, super different from that. It's come a long way since the days of the cartel.
It's a little sensationalized.
Yeah, it's a little sensationalized. So we flew in, we had friends in Medellin. And so what I remember most about Medellin, beautiful botanical gardens, massive iguanas, just these like cable cars that go up and you can see the whole community. Colombia is probably the prettiest country I've ever been to, and I did not feel unsafe. Now, I think I had some advantages going into that situation. I was traveling with a Colombian family that we knew. I speak Spanish, and so like all of those things were helpful. But you know, Colombia has come a fantastic distance since the days of the cartels.
Very good. I'm about to finish up Queen of the South.
La Reina del Sur. Yeah. So that one is so weird because I actually did my undergraduate thesis about La Reina del Sur because I wanted to explore the role of women like in narco trafficking and sort of like how women are portrayed in telenovelas about trafficking. So
She's over here with like a real accent and
Yeah, next level. You and your husband, if I went to dinner with you, I'd be like, I'm just gonna not talk.
No, that is not true. See, we feel that way about you, Becky. We're like, Becky goes on a so different level.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun. That's fine. Let's just finish it up with like a compliment fest over here.
Yeah. Why? Another one that I hear about Becky all the time is one of the three.
I don't actually like
I'm going to tell you this. One of the three most powerful women in Jefferson City.
Whoa. And the other two are at this table. Boom. Oh, there we go.
So sweet.
No, it's actually funny. So next week, everyone listening to this should just go ahead and tell whoever you're sitting next to about it too. But Missouri Times will be celebrating its 5th anniversary on Tuesday. And also on Tuesday, we'll be releasing the Winter 2018 Missouri Times Magazine. It features 5 power couples, 5 Wonder Women, 5 campaigns to watch, 5 And two other things that you're obviously going to have to pick up the magazine to read.
I bet there are five of them.
Yes. And so I didn't choose Becky for Wonder Woman, mostly because I didn't want anyone thinking that I just choose my favorite people for everything. But it was exciting, and Ben just walked in, so I'm sure he can attest to this.
Do I have to?
How interesting people are in this building. And so I actually wrote about Becky in my letter to the editor, and I hope you all read it. But she made some amazing points.
That you'll have to read. To find out.
But what you obviously have to read that. But what I didn't write about was the questions I asked her. And one of the things I told her, I was like, you know, people have given you mad props because you hit the ground running and just 2 feet in day one. And most people are just like deer in the headlights, which I had a recent experience with, actually very traumatic. Most people are deer in the headlights for their first few weeks. Ben's laughing because he had to save me in Sedalia, Missouri. Becky was not one of those people. And if she was, she did a great job hiding it.
Yeah, I am a good hider. That's exactly it. And I just had smart people around me to whisper and be like, what's going on?
Or, run away.
Anyway, so I hope to see you all next Tuesday for the Missouri Times 5th anniversary. We are presenting our Statesman of the Year Award. We are presenting the 2017 Best of the Legislature Awards. They look gorgeous. The menu looks awesome. I put in the liquor bill last night and cried a little bit over it. But it's going to be a great party. We're very excited to celebrate our anniversary. I'm sure Ben is personally very excited to get this off of my plate.
There's some nodding going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of nodding going on. They're not just looking at me like deer in the headlights. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah Baker of the ACLU.
Well, thank you for having me.
I look forward to going home and reading a few Wikipedia pages and talking to you about Columbia again. And obviously, thank you to you for listening to the hashtag MoLedge podcast, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. We will talk to you soon.